Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, I have a special treat all the way from Hawaii. We're going to talk to Hiram Yarbrough, who is the face behind Skincare by Hiram. So welcome.
Hello. Hi.
Aloha.
It's so great to be here. Yeah, aloha. Thank you for inviting me.
I'm so thrilled to have you. You are doing such a great job on social media. You're killing it with your TikTok, your Instagram, and all the educational content. Like the teaching about skincare that you bring to your brand is so passionate, and I love that about you.
But thank you.
For our listeners who haven't heard of your podcast or of your For our listeners who haven't heard of you on TikTok and Instagram, can you give us a little quick bio about who you are and what made you go into skincare?
Yes. So my name's Hiram. I'm really passionate about skincare, and I'd say more than anything, passionate about making skincare easy to understand and accessible. When I first entered the industry, it was extremely complex, you know, thousands of products, ingredients, information that was a lot to handle. And my goal was to make content to help people, you know, enter the skincare world with a little bit more reassurance and with a little bit less intimidation. And so I started making content on YouTube, and I have since also moved over to TikTok as well. And yeah, I'd say my main focus is really making skincare entertaining and easy to understand.
What do you think propelled you into instant stardom? Because, you know, starting your YouTube, you probably started with not that many followers, and then suddenly now you have over 3 million subscribers on YouTube and 6 million followers on TikTok. So was there a moment in time or a particular video or something that catapulted you to the next level?
You know, it wasn't one specific video per se, but it did happen very rapidly because like last year around this time of year, I think I was just over 10,000 followers. And at the end of the year, I had hit like 100,000 on YouTube. And then all of a sudden, really rapidly out of nowhere, it kind of exploded. And I did have a video where I reacted to skincare TikToks that performed pretty well. As you know, TikTok was just starting to become really big, but I'd say it was like a combination of a bunch of different videos that all kind of grew in attention at the same time. And I also think it's been reflective of an industry shift and more younger people learning and turning to skincare, as well as people who have been pretty ingrained within the makeup industry, also realizing that like, you know, maybe I don't want to do full coverage foundation every day. And so maybe I should, you know, really focus on getting that glow and, you know, really focus on the improving the quality of my skin. And I think because of that, I was able to, you know, grow relatively quickly. And through that, I've also seen other content creators grow too, as I'm sure you've seen other dermatologists or plastic surgeons or, you know, skincare content creators on TikTok also really, you know, blow up pretty quickly.
Yeah, really taking off. It's interesting how I think last year, the year before, makeup was so huge on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And it's like you said, layers of foundation, layers of coverage, and a 40-minute routine to leave the house every day.
Yes.
And now it's the exact opposite. Here we are buried in our houses and stripping away all the makeup and really going to the essence of good skin, which is like, it's the new status symbol, like in your Zoom meetings and in your everyday life. And you want to have like actual good skin, not have to cover it and put on filters and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I will say, I think where I really saw the most explosive growth was on TikTok, because I started making content regularly on TikTok in March. And you know, it's funny enough, become my biggest platform, even though I don't consider myself a TikToker whatsoever. It has become a lot bigger. And I think it's, again, I think circumstances kind of worked out perfectly to where not only people are becoming more invested in skin, everyone's, you know, at home in quarantine. And so makeup, at least daily makeup, isn't as important. And people are able to, you know, kind of focus more on skincare, repairing their skin, helping, you know, their skin recover, say from, you know, extended makeup use, or, you know, or at the very least they had time at home to watch videos and learn more about skincare. And I think that's where the investment in skin and even the industry overall, like makeup saw a pretty significant decrease in sales during quarantine, but skincare saw significant growth during quarantine. So I think that's definitely something that contributed to it.
It's also been nice because it's sort of a moment for self-care where yes. you really strip away the whole day and you're looking at yourself in the mirror and you're just like giving yourself some nourishment, some self-love, mm-hmm. self-care. So I think that was like the one nice thing we could do for ourselves while being unlocked down and holed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely need it with all the stress that we're going through. I think it worked out. You know, I'm glad people are taking care of their skin right now.
So you're 24 years old, is that right?
Yes, correct.
And you have great skin, of course. Is there one skincare product that's your like absolute must-have desert island, Hawaiian island product?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few different ones I could choose from. I'd say, but for one specific, so you mean like a specific product or a type of product?
Let's say a type of product.
Type of product. Well, when you say desert island, I instantly think sunscreen because, you know, island in the sun, everything. I would say where I really have seen the most dramatic improvement in my skin because I kind of struggled with not very good skin. When I was like 18, I had a lot of fine lines developing to the point that they were noticeable and people were pointing them out. And just not good skin whatsoever. And when I started exfoliating, like chemical exfoliants really made a drastic impact in the improvement of my skin. And have since like are a pretty essential part of my skincare routine. I know the right answer is sunscreen, obviously. Mm-hmm. but I'd say for, you know, an experience in my favor and really what I enjoy the most is definitely like a good, like chemically exfoliating serum.
Nice. So like glycolic acids or AHA BAHAs.
Yeah. Or even PHA or mandelic acid. I love dabbling in all of them. Particularly recently mandelic acid and PHAs because AHAs, BHAs can be a little bit strong with pretty consistent use, but PHAs and mandelic acid tend to be a little bit, you know, better suited for either more sensitive skin or more frequent use. So I definitely have been liking those recently.
I do love mandelic acid. So derived from almonds, mm-hmm. very good for pigmentation, acne prone, sensitive skin types. And it's just really a wonderful product. I think people don't exfoliate enough. And when they do want to exfoliate, they go to like, you know, products that are too abrasive, of course, like some of the over the counter things. With your skin, did you ever suffer from acne as an adolescent?
I did. You know, when I was in middle school and high school specifically, thankfully it was never really bad, but you know, any pictures I look back on, I definitely like, they were noticeable from very far away. You can definitely see the pimples, the breakouts on my face. And I more so struggled with, I would have say like 5 pimples, but they were huge and very noticeable, as opposed to a bunch of like smaller ones. And that was pretty consistent all the way through high school as well. I pretty much consistently always had breakouts.
What's your number one advice tip for kids with acne and teenagers and TikTokers? I'm also seeing a ton of people in that age group, and I have a great acne kit, which I think clears people up so fast, like within a month. But I think the biggest problem I see is that people think like, oh, this is just part of adolescence and I just have to live with it. And then they let these lesions and, you know, problems dwell on their skin for so long, whereas if they just got on a couple good products, they could clear it up and not suffer. What do you think?
Definitely. I mean, I'd say the biggest myth that like and mistake I'd say that I was told was that the sun repairs your acne. I was told that all the time. Like my, you know, my mom would be like, oh, that means you've been inside too long. You need to get outside and get some sun. You know, the sun will heal it up. Was what I always heard. And so when I would sometimes struggle with worse breakouts, I'd be like, okay, it's time to tan, which I just roll over in my, you know, in my non-existent grave, I guess. I just, I'm like, oh, like I cringe every time I hear that because, and think of that because it's just so against what I would recommend. I'd say that's probably the biggest issue. I also see what happens a lot is, like you were saying, people turn to too abrasive of treatments and they go overboard to the point that they're almost exposing their skin to too many treatments or too harsh of treatments that it's sometimes causing the problem they're looking to avoid. I definitely fall under, I'd say, the philosophy of skincare minimalism. And I'm constantly recommending to teenagers specifically, like, simplify your routine where possible, like a good 4-step routine with a good treatment. And whereas before they were using scrubs and exfoliating cleansers and, you know, exfoliating masks and all this stuff, when they really simplified it and turned to just like 1 or 2 treatment products, they immediately saw an improvement in their skin. So I'd say that's also another really big one that I see.
I think so, because the more steps, the more things that you're likely to skip, and the more it feels like a tedious task, and you maybe aren't going to, you know, get that accomplished. So it's important to do something that's practical, because the 10-step regimens are not necessarily the most practical. But
oh no, not at all.
Have you done peels for yourself?
You mean like professionally done peels?
Yeah. Have you ever tried a peel
I have not. I want to so badly. The reason I haven't, though, is kind of funny. I guess want to be a manifestation of skin taken care of by over-the-counter products only. I think within the YouTube community, when people start to grow on YouTube, everyone's like, oh, they only have good skin because they can afford to get really expensive treatments done. I see that in comment sections all the time. And I don't have anything against peels, and I honestly would love to use a peel, but to like get a professional peel done. But I think it's my pride that's kind of like, no, I want to show people that like you don't need to get a professional peel done in order to like take care of your skin and have good skin. And that's not to say in the future I won't, because I definitely will. I think just right now I kind of want to almost fight a little bit against that stigma. To show people that like, no, you can still, you know, take care of your skin, have very good quality skin without, you know, needing to get treatments done.
Very, very true. And I think that for the vast majority of people, that's what they mainly have access to. And so if you can find those needles in the haystack, like the good products that are out there at Target, Sephora, and that kind of thing, then by all means, that helps so many people in the population. But I love ingredients. Like, I'm obsessed with the highest potency, the most beneficial, the most scientifically proven ingredients, just like you are. So I think there's definitely a role for that next level up of like physician strength skincare, or doing things that when you've tried everything that's out there, that's available, and then you need to go to the next level. That's a big important thing.
Exactly. And that's, I think, definitely my philosophy. I love the strong treatments. I also, from like, recognize, like, at least my philosophy is like, if it's not necessary, I won't do it, sort of thing. And so for me right now, over-the-counter skincare products work well to resolve a lot of my issues. That's not going to last as I get older. You know, I'm going to see more stubborn issues that are going to stick around. And in that case, you know, transition over to stronger, you know, professional treatments to address that. One main element that you touched on is accessibility. That's something that's really important on my channel, because when I first entered the skincare industry, I really thought, you know, that Sephora was the cheapest level of skincare, and that's what everyone was getting in that. If you wanted, you know, really good quality products, you had to spend a lot of money, or you had to get treatments done to have good skin. That's really what I thought. And it took a while for me to realize, like, oh no, you can actually have really good skin with very affordable products. And being that, especially recently, my following has definitely gotten a lot younger. I think what's most realistic in terms of recommendations for them is, you know, affordable over-the-counter products as opposed to professional treatments. But in the future, that will come.
Very good point. I made it one of my missions. I have a skincare line, which you don't know, but I'm going to send you some. I want to definitely send you some things to try. But I've made it a mission to have skincare that's affordable, that's physician strength ingredients. So that's really important to me, because what's the point of producing a product that's like $500 a bottle and like only the very elite people can afford to use it? Yeah. And even then, those products, like, you know, the La Mer,
not that great a lot of times.
Yeah, the ingredients are just like, it's all branding, advertising, and models that you're paying for. So one big mission for me is to make it accessible, but affordable, so you'll always have it and always be on it and use it. I developed over quarantine, I developed this pretty at home peel because we couldn't see people. So we sent people peels that were safe to do at home, supervised on a virtual FaceTime with our esthetician taking you.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, like
that's
open
so cool.
The bottle, put on this layer, be really careful and do all the steps. And people loved it. And so that's such an awesome thing. So if you haven't tried a good peel, I'm going to send you one of those too. Because Hawaiian.
Oh, thank you. I would
the
love
the Hawaiian sun damage you need to try.
It's intense. It's really intense. That's why it's a my friends here are exfoliation and sunscreen, definitely.
Exactly. Well, you are about to launch some products of your own, so tell us a little bit about that project.
Yeah, so it's a project, and before anyone gets too excited, it's I'm doing a merchandise line that I'm going to be coming out with really soon, and I'm particularly excited because for every design that my team and I have created, first of all, almost all the designs, two of the designs were made by local Hawaiian artists, and one of the designs was made by me, and each design has a specific social cause that it's contributing to with a direct social impact. And I won't reveal too much right now, as you'll see like with the entire launch, but it's a great way of being able to, purchase really, cute and fun merchandise while also making a positive difference in the world. I'm always looking for opportunities to connect people with the ability to make a significant impact in regards to a social issue. And I think combining something as fun as buying a product for yourself to enjoy with, a direct social impact so that you know that you're, helping contribute to the betterment of the world in some way, is really my goal. And so I'm super excited. It launches the 28th. So if the 28th has already passed, hopefully it's still available. I'm super excited about it.
That's so awesome. Congratulations. It's a big deal.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Well, so let's ask you a couple quick questions about your current skincare regimen and what you recommend for guys. So one of my passions is getting men to be a little bit more interested in taking care of their skin. I don't have any trouble getting most of my female clients there, but I really feel like having a basic regimen for guys is so important. Are there like two or three major steps you recommend for most men?
Yeah, definitely. I actually love this question because tomorrow I'm coming out with a video called How to Get Your Man on a Skincare Routine.
Perfect.
Because that's a common concern that I find is a lot of, guys typically, a lot of men don't typically, recognize the importance of taking care of your skin. And I go through some tips, one of which being, I think, demystifying skincare and identifying it alongside self-care and cleanliness. So when you talk to a guy about a skincare routine, he's hesitant, comparing it to brushing your teeth, taking a shower, smelling good, making sure your hair is done. It's the exact same type of thing, arguably more important because it's your skin's health. But I found that when it's kind of separated from the makeup world, which is, I think, where a lot of guys kind of are a little bit more hesitant because they, consider skincare to be very similar to makeup and they may be particularly hesitant to makeup. Normalizing skincare is just a self-care ritual, similar to all those other things that we're supposed to do every day, I think really makes it easier for a lot of guys to be okay with, doing a skincare routine. And also making sure that it's simple from the beginning, like a simple three-step, four-step skincare routine. I think we can all relate in the sense that when we first started skincare, I think very few of us started with a 10-step skincare routine. It was like one or two products at most, and you have to practice and work your way up and get used to applying it. It's the same thing for guys, and to be patient with them in that respect. And then another tip I have is, and this is particularly for anyone who's like, I'm trying to get this guy, like my boyfriend or my husband or my dad or my son, to start a skincare routine. I always say, like, make it a bonding experience, like before you go to bed, do it together, do face masks as you watch a movie, little reminders like, oh, hey, we gotta wash our skin or we gotta moisturize, or little things like that, can really help, get that habit going along, to where they'll be able to, do it on their own.
That's so important. I love that idea. My husband has started just like that with one product, like, okay, try my hydration serum after you shave. And now he has like 10 on his countertop, which I'm so proud of him.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's so great. No, and it's cool to see like you know, how many people have tagged me in stories to where they're like, my boyfriend and I started watching your videos together and he used to think skincare was so stupid and now he has a full skincare routine. You know, it's cool to see that. And I think when you can just get your foot in the door, in terms of like suggesting skincare and offering it, after some amount of time, a lot of guys will, you know, get on it once they realize the importance of it.
Yeah, I mean, men are blessed because they have better skin in general. It's thicker, more sebaceous glands, gives you more oils, and so it doesn't age as quickly. It tends to be, you know, you get like this daily shaving dermabrasion routine going, which women don't do, so it stimulates your skin. So overall, men age actually better, in case you didn't know that.
So yeah, I didn't know that men's skin was, you know, more thick, I guess, like in some ways a little bit more resilient. Yeah,
it is. It definitely is. Are you someone who's going to one day try Botox, or have you already tried any injectables or
yes,
anything?
I would love to. I'm totally open-minded to it. Right now, like I said before, I'm really just focused on skincare, but I do believe in like, you know, prevention. And I think skincare has definitely taught me that you should address the problem before it happens, not after it happens, you know, as much as you can. So I'm totally open-minded to it. And I don't think there's any like, any reason I would not. I think right now, so far, the forehead's looking good.
It looks very good.
Thank you. It's still better than when I was, you know, 18. I haven't seen those wrinkles come back. But when I start to see a little inkling of them coming back and my retinols and my treatments aren't working, then, you know, then I'll, you know, really begin into that journey.
Then you'll start some vitamin B Botox. I'm encouraging. I think more people are using it preventatively. I know I started really young at like age 27, 28. And then you just never get lines. So it's kind of nice. And I don't do too much. I do just enough to maintain.
Yeah.
And, you know, you want to look at your face and your skin and your body in general, like an investment. Like you can't live to be 80. You can't drive a car for 80 years and not put maintenance into it. So you definitely have to do things periodically for your skin and your face.
Exactly. And I don't think there's anything, there's like, sometimes there's a stigma around it, doing it when you're younger, but I disagree with that. Cause I'm like, exactly, like preventative I think is important. And like I said, like I've dealt with so many, you know, people in the past where they have severe, you know, they'll be like 60 years old, haven't used skincare before. And they're like, okay, what skincare product is going to get rid of these lines? And I'm just like, Botox. That'll get rid of it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just like, you know, it's important to start. And why I'm so grateful to see like the young, like a younger generation getting onto skincare and, you know, taking care of the skin early, because skincare is 90% prevention and 10% repair, in my opinion. We're so used, I think, in the past to only approach skincare once we see the problem. But true skincare is preventing the problem to begin with as long as you possibly can.
Exactly. What is your background in terms of school and education? And did you do any formal skin training?
Yeah, so I have not had formalized in the sense of esthetician or, you know, dermatologist training, and I always make sure to put that disclaimer in my videos. I have worked as a freelance education specialist for, you know, talking about ingredients and products and brands, you know, just being able to educate, essentially doing what I do in YouTube videos, but in person, helping people to understand more. But in terms of formalized training, I'm considering it for the future. Part of me, like, really wants to, because I just find skincare so fascinating. But in terms of dermatologist, there's so much like science and it's a lot of schooling. And one thing I think my entrepreneurial and distracting brain can't handle is a lot of classes about things I'm not necessarily particularly passionate about. If I'm passionate about it, I dedicate my everything and I love learning. But if I have to learn about a topic that's not directly related or applicable to what I'm doing, I go absolutely insane. So, but it's definitely like a consideration for the future, as I think it would, you know, be really cool to do that. But in the meantime, I definitely feel comfortable being an introductory
an
opportunity
educator
for people who are just Yeah, you know, entering the skincare space. And the amazing thing is that online, there are so many estheticians, so many dermatologists who are just a wealth of information and content that people can learn from and pursue, you know, further education, self-education, or formalized education. My position, at least right now, is just intercepting at the very beginning and helping point them in the right direction so they're not going to be using, you know, like a scrub 3 times a day and never wear sunscreen, you know?
Yes. Well, that's so important. So I think that's great. Do you still have a regular job on the side, or have you switched 100% into your platforms and edutainment?
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Edutainment. That's a really, I love that. So I would say, so before it was kind of a little iffy with COVID, because I was before and then, before COVID, and then everything started exploding on YouTube really quickly. And so, I'd been like, you know what, I'm going to take a little break real quick to like focus on this. And then COVID hit and then everything kind of changed. So currently, no, I'm just completely focusing on YouTube right now and creating the content. And just because I've seen such rapid and sustained growth, I think it's wisest for me to focus. And not only that, I think I have the widest reach with YouTube. Mm-hmm. As much as I love, you know, working within the skincare industry, being able to use my videos to educate, you know, hundreds of thousands to millions of people makes such a large impact. And I think in terms of like where I want to spend my time for the, you know, most educational and influential purposes is definitely, you know, on YouTube and TikTok.
That's good that you've narrowed it down, because I feel like once you get into social media, it's so explosive. It's like this wave that mm-hmm. you want to ride the popularity of the wave, but it's hard to control the chaos, and it's important to create. Like, you got all this content to make every day.
Exactly.
You really almost need, we almost need to have like a school where we learn how to,
honestly,
like once you hit a certain level in social media and you have to generate all this content every day, and you need to go to school for how to monetize that, how to distribute it, how to organize it, right? You're learning as you go. Yep. I know.
It's lot of self-learning, and I'm sure you understand how much social media looks so simple and easy on the surface. But there's a lot of self-education and a lot of technicalities to so much of what goes on behind the scenes. And you also talked about something too, like when you see growth, it is very out of your control. It may seem like it's very like, oh, expected, and like, oh yeah, like I knew this was going to happen and I know how to handle this. But really when it happens, you're just like, I don't know what caused this. I don't know how to keep it going. I don't know when it's going to die, you know? And so sustaining that growth is a little tricky. But you know, I think more than anything, what I've learned is just people really enjoy authenticity. And for me, one thing I really like to focus on in my videos is like breaking away from a very PR friendly, type of creator who is very, you know, aware of everything they do and everything they say, and trying to be as, you know, like I said before, PR friendly as possible, or like trying to be exactly what their audience wants them to be, instead of just being truly authentic to themselves and just mm-hmm. like acting how they always act and saying what they always feel. And I feel like it's important to have that, you know, authentic voice, and it definitely makes it a lot easier to control.
Well, you guys, don't forget to check out Hiram on all his social handles, and you can find me on my Instagram doing amazing things with people's faces at Beauty by Dr. K. It's DRKAY. And our website is the same, www.beautybydrk.com. That's where you can find my Katie skincare and try some of the products that I'm going to send all the way to Hawaii to Hiram to try. Try them and check them out. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.